الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له وقال في روايه التائب حبيب الله قال الله سبحانه وتعالى لأنين المذنبين أحب إليه من زجل المسبحين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين respected brothers and elders we had been discussing the saying of Hatim bin Asam rahimahullah who in the light of the hadith had mentioned that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had told us that to be composed and considerate is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to hasten this is from shaitan wal ujratu min ash-shaitan and he had mentioned except for five things wherein a person should hasten and carry out quickly that is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from among those five he had mentioned firstly the feeding of the guests secondly the preparation for the burial after a person passes away thirdly marrying our daughters with the time the proposal comes fourthly paying of debts and fifthly he mentioned what is outstanding was wa tawbatu min az-zam to seek repentance from sin this is something a person should do hastily quickly without any delay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this dunya and we face various challenges in this dunya our greatest duty is this that we be obedient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like is shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this is not restricted to any area any place any time any facet of life in all aspects of our life we are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we need to show obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in such a manner that we are forgetful we fall into error we are weak we are surrounded by the nafs and shaitan by an evil environment and we tend to fall into sin And when we fall into sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and through his ayat prescriptions to cleanse ourselves from those sins and purify ourselves from the sins. We are in need of the mercy of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely free from need and want. Yet the graciousness and the mercy and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to seek repentance, to turn towards him, to forgive him to gain his forgiveness and closeness and nearness and not only that but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive the banda but that banda that is so weak and falls into sin and sometimes due to ignorance sometimes due to an oversight sometimes due to the overwhelming environment around him he falls into sin and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely free of sin completely free of need and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites him to come towards forgiveness and to have himself cleansed then how silly will we be if we don't turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cleanse ourselves from sin further if you look at the implications of sin or if you see under what surveillance we are from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then we will understand how weak we are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established witnesses against us we have the kiram and katibin the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are with us at all times in all places in all circumstances they are with us recording our deeds and they are there all the time whether it's a good deed or a bad deed a small deed or a big deed whatever manner it is done the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are there and together with that whatever they are recording those recordings will be presented before us in the day of judgment wa idha as-suhuf nushirat when these kitabs will be spread out that these are your deeds this is your biography or this is your life or this is your actions all recorded here in the book of deeds presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together with that we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that even this earth that we tread upon is so stagnant and so still and that day will come yawma idhin tuhaddithu akhbaraha when it will begin to say its narrations and tales and give its information as to what actions we had carried out, good and bad, on the earth. And even more mighty and stronger witness against us is our deeds, these parts of our body. Parts of our body when the tongue will be sealed and the hands and feet will speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some places the sam'ihim wa absarihim, the hearing will speak before Allah, the eyes will speak before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some traditions we understand, all parts of the body will bear testimony against insan that he had carried out such and such action against me. These are the witnesses against every human being. How can a person think of any way or any place where he can be saved and save himself from sin or escape or deny the sin that he carries out, when these are the four witnesses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has against us? And together with that, various verses of the Holy Quran tell us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khabirun bima ta'amaloon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware and acquainted with all the actions that you carry out. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of these witnesses, but just to create a proof against us, these witnesses are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees our actions and knows our actions. Sometimes a man feels that there's nobody watching me here. I'm here in isolation and I can carry out this sin. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful over you. Commentators mention here, actually mirsad is used when a person goes out hunting. Ask that person, and a person goes hunting, how he sits and how he times and looks for that prey and how he is looking closely, ever watchful for that prey, for the prey to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more watchful over us than that person that goes out and looks after his prey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees our actions. Sometimes a person feels that nobody knows about my actions. Nobody is here with me. Nobody knows about my actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Alimun bidhati sudur. Ya'lamu sirrakum wa jahrakum. Ya'lamu khainat al-ayun wa ma tukfi sudur. Those things that are concealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Those deceptions of the eye, Allah knows. That which is in the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware. Sometimes a person feels there's nobody here with me. There's nobody with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. His power and qudrat is over you at all places and at all times. Sometimes a person feels, who can do anything to me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy us within a second. That is why the Quran Pak is filled up with the incidents of the people of the past. Those people that transgressed the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite their outer might, despite their power, despite their wealth, despite the prominence they had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed them, and within seconds and moments we find they were destroyed. And even today we see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mighty nations make great inventions, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys them within a moment, and within seconds they are destroyed. So the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his power is there at all times, and the person becomes conscious of this, then he saves himself from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from sinning. And when a person sins, then Faqih Abu Lays writes very strangely that there are 10 things that take place when a person commits just one sin. What is that? Firstly is this, that he has displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, greatest benefactor, our creator, and our sustainer and nourisher. He has displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, he has pleased the enemy of Allah, and our enemy, that is shaitan. By sinning, he has displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has pleased shaitan. And thirdly, he has distanced himself away from Jannat by sin. Sinning will take him away from Jannat. And he has brought himself close to Jahannam by sinning. Fifthly, he has done himself a disfavor. Why? He has made himself now worthy into entering towards in Jahannam. He has done himself a disfavor because he becomes now worthy in entering through Jahannam. Sixthly, he has polluted himself. He was parked from sins and cleansed in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the napaki and the filth of sin has come upon him. He has, so to say, polluted himself. Seventhly, he has caused taklif to the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those that are writing the deeds, they also, and other angels also. When the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place, then they also become displeased. And eighthly, he causes grief to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because a person's book of deeds are presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his amal are presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Rawza Mubarak, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa witnesses the misdeeds of his ummatis, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa becomes displeased. Though a person feels nothing has happened, but he has displeased Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa as well. Similarly, he has done a disfavor to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find sometime, because of that evil deed of his, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds the barakat in this earth. And with the result, like sometime rain is withheld, and the animals that are here also suffer the consequences of the evil action of this person and the guna of this person. And finally, we find, tenthly, this person has made that portion of the earth a witness against him on the day of judgment. So sinning is a very, very serious thing. That is why we find our mashayikh were so concerned. On one hand, we find the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, far as zakat, salat, etc. are concerned. On the other hand, we find the nawahi, the prohibitions from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the mashayikh mentioned, together with carrying out the faraiz and the wajibat and sunan and muakkara, etc., person does not carry out any nafil action, but he abstains from haram, abstains from prohibitions, then he can become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the contrary, he carries out a lot of nafil actions, a lot of tahajjud, a lot of umrah, etc., but he says, does not save himself from haram, then this will not gain him the qurb and the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qurb and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with abstention from sin and abstention from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after all, the mashayikh mentioned, when a person has, then we find the categories of sin. There are some sins that are classified as minor sins and some classified as major sins. People mentioned, the mashayikh and the elders mentioned, that there's no thing like minor and major sin. If you're looking at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the magnificence and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his grandeur, because every sin is a disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can a person be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to such a great zat, to that zat that we are dependent upon every moment of our lives in this dunya and before we came in this dunya and after this dunya as well. We are dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and his forgiveness. So every sin becomes a major sin. Some mashayikh mentioned, la israr, la saghirata ma'al israr. A person who continuously and persistently carries out a small sin doesn't remain a small sin. And wala kabirata ma'al istighfar. A person who carries out a major sin, but he makes istighfar, then that does not remain a major sin. In fact, the mashayikh mentioned that the minor sins that are overlooked and people disregard and think as very small and trivial, these are very, very serious. Why? Because a person continuously begins to carry them out. And when a person is persistent upon sin, then what happens? Then that minor sin doesn't remain a minor sin, it becomes a major sin. And similarly, we find that any sin has the potential. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ إِيَاكَ وَمُحَقَّرَاتِ الزُّنُودِ فَإِنَّ لَهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ طَالِبًا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us, Aisha radiallahu anha, never belittle any sin, because this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will demand. You will be answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every sin. So do not look down upon a sin. Do not think this is a very small and trivial sin and carrying it out. And the examples that are given are so beautiful. It's like a small snake. There's a small snake in the home. Nobody rests there and says, no, it's a very small snake, won't do anything. No, we know the potential of that small snake. Similarly, there's a little bit of poison there. A little bit of poison, who will dare consume it? A very little bit, no. It has the potential of killing. Similarly, there's a small spark of fire there in that area, on that property, on that home. Then everybody will get together to extinguish it. Yet it is very small. Why? Because it will lead up to that time and place, lead up to that position where a person becomes totally destroyed. Or the home may be destroyed. It has that potential. So similarly, sin has the potential here of leading a person towards the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. What is very, very essential in our environment here currently is to recognize sin, to find out what is sin, the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so much proliferation of sin and abundance of sin that a person cannot sometimes distinguish between ma'roof and munkar, what is good and what is bad. Sometimes because of ignorance, sometimes because of the overwhelming environment around him, he sees everybody setting out something and he feels that this is fine because everybody is doing it, certain person is doing it, I mean doing it, so what's wrong with it? So the very first thing we need to do is to identify what is sin and what is wrong and what is the disobedience of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in our context. For example, we take the holidays. We are here on the threshold of a long holiday and we find the students and the youngsters and sometimes parents also are prepared to leave and go around and spend some free time somewhere away from the home environment, maybe to refresh themselves for education or for recreational purposes. But let us now examine what is the holiday, or what is, in our context, what is the holiday? Our context, our holiday is to become completely free from the orders of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what's in our environment. Music, intermingling, extravagance, doing everything that is prohibited by Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam means that's a holiday. Person, there's no sense of fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he goes out on a holiday. He's free now. He's free. Similarly, he behaves that the people around him, eating and drinking and celebrating and having festivity, in what manner? In intermingling, similarly in music, etc., in spending extravagantly and where there's no need, etc. This is what is holiday in our context. But for a mu'min, If he is conscious of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knows that we are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his slaves every day of our lives. We are the slaves of Allah and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed towards us every day of our lives. Then we can spend a very nice holiday, the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very nice holiday doing things that are completely permissible in the deen of Islam, visiting relatives, visiting sick people, showing concern to the less fortunate Muslims and assisting them, helping them, etc. So many other ways of spending a holiday which is in the confines of the Sharia. But as I mentioned, because there's a proliferation and we find abundance of these type of activities, person goes out, his wife and children, and goes out to such areas, he feels there's nothing wrong with it because everybody is doing it. No. We first need to identify what is sin. And there's a great need for this. And we have a lot of ulama in our midst. We had a lot of literature in our midst also in our midst to go and identify what is right and what is wrong. Sometimes those things that seem to be so right are completely contrary to the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the first step towards tawbah and istighfar. Here we mention tawbah, wa tawbatu min az-zamm is the first, fifth thing we mentioned, that a person should hasten towards making tawbah. One of the reasons is this: a man doesn't know what is sin, and man doesn't know what is sin, and what is the obedience, and what is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then where can he think of being obedient to, of being asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for repentance? Mashaykh mentioned that there are some things that are more serious than sin. To create a sin is one evil, and to regard that sin as to be trivial and small and to look upon it is a greater evil than the sin itself. Similarly, to carry out a sin or perpetrate a sin and then be pleased and happy about that sin, this is more serious than the sin itself. Thirdly, a person carries out a sin and thereafter he is persistent in that sin and carries it out over and over again, this is more serious than that sin itself, because being persistent on the sin will lead into all great dangers. And similarly, a person who carries out a sin and is proud about the sin, this is even more serious than the sin itself. And how many people we find, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, that carry out a sin, then proudly and openly go and announce the sin in front of the people, this is what I have done and this is what I have done. This is very, very extremely serious. So firstly, the first condition, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا اَعْتَرَفَ ثُمَّ تَابَ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that when the servant firstly confesses, he admits the sin, he confesses and is guilty of that sin, and thereafter he asks for tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him. So the first condition is confession, to confess to the sin. And when a person confesses and he has that grief of that sin and is sad and he's sorrowful and is grieved of that sin and he confesses in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thereafter he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately forgives him. But on the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us if we are not grieved that we have gone against and disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great, the mighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that's most powerful, the greatest benefactor, and our creator and maker and nourisher, we are not grieved at the sin. And similarly, the first step is we do not admit that sin. There's no admission, there's no confession that I have sinned. Then it's very difficult for a person to ask for mercy, to ask for repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One reason for delay is this: a person does not regard sin as sin, which is very, very serious. Some of the reasons are this, that a person feels, no, I have a long life before me, and one day, inshallah, I'll turn and repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just as serious because death is inevitable, and we don't know when the moment of death will arrive. Similarly, sometimes a person feels, like I mentioned previously, my sins are too many. How would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive my sins? There is also a very serious sin. We are undermining the unlimited power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of forgiveness. Sometimes a person feels that my sins are very small, like I mentioned here. He does not know the seriousness of sin, and he does not repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some of the reasons. Sometimes a person feels, I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for repentance, but I will commit the sin again. So what's the use repenting? No, this is also a serious mistake of a person, and this is a deception from shaitan. What is asked here in the hadith, we understand, as soon as you commit a sin, person should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's doors of forgiveness are open for a person. Till the time of death comes, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ قَبْلَ أَيُّغَرْغِرَ. Till that time, when the ruh comes into his throat, till that time, the doors of forgiveness are open from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should hasten towards coming towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith, we find one incident of one sahabi radiallahu anhu that comes into the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just to show when these conditions are found, a person confesses, is regretful, and he has conscious of the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is hopeful and wants to be forgiven, then sometimes just a few words with that heavy heart are sufficient for his forgiveness. One person comes into the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, wa zunuba, wa zunuba. less high my sins. My sins has destroyed me, my sins. He is now expressing regret here and remorse, and he's most ashamed for his sins, and he's expressing this words, "Oh, my sins." And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, say these words, "Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi wa rahmatuka arja indi min amali." He says these few words, he says them once, he says, oh my sins, two or three times. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him to say these words which mean, "Oh Allah, your forgiveness is more vast. Maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi." Your forgiveness is more, your forgiveness is more vast than my sins. وَرَحْمَتُكَ أَرْجَى عِنْدِي مِنْ عَمَلِي. And oh Allah, your mercy, I have more hope in your mercy than in my actions. Rasulullah s.a.w. asked him to repeat this two times or three times. Thereafter Rasulullah s.a.w. says, قُمْ قَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Stand up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you. Commentators mentioned here, firstly was the confession. Firstly, he confessed that I am sinful. Secondly, he was remorseful and regretful. His heart was filled with sorrow and grief and agony that I have just obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is another requirement. Another tawbatun comes in the hadith. When a person regrets and is remorseful, that in itself is a tawbah. He's sad, he's sorrowful, he's grieved, and he's distressed and disappointed. Why? Because he's disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned, daqat alayhimul ardu bima rahubat. What an ajeeb statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes, that the whole earth used to become constrained upon them despite its vastness. Look at the vastness of the earth. Some people say 24,000 kilometers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how vast it is. Daqat alayhimul ard. What used to happen? It used to become constrained upon them. Bima rahubat, despite it being so vast. How do we understand that? Very simple to understand that. Something is wrong between me and my wife. Something is wrong between me and my boss. Something is wrong between me and my superintendent. What happens? Nothing seems nice to me. Eating and drinking also is not so nice to me. My boss is not very happy with me. Or my wife is naraz with me. Or my ustad is not very happy with me. Nothing seems nice into the dunya. Our respected mashayikh mentioned very strangely, ye insan kitna ajeeb hai. Allah ki nafarmani subah sham tak karta hai. Or khata hai, or pirta hai, or mast rehta hai. He is eating and drinking the namas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'azallah, is not even conscious that I am grieved, I am here disobedient to such a mighty Lord, and yet he carries on eating and drinking like nothing happened. Yes, when something is wrong at the job, something is wrong at the wife, etc., or something is wrong at work or at school, etc., person becomes so grieved. Nothing is nice to him. Nothing seems so pleasant to him and pleasing to him. He does not feel like eating and drinking. Here was the Sahaba, daqat alayhimul ardu bima rahubat. The whole earth became constrained besides its vastness, to show how grieved they were. And this is how grieved the Sahabi is. He comes in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a heart full of remorse and regret and says, wa zunuba, my sins have killed me. And so many of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they had perpetrated something that was wrong, coming to the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, cleanse me of my sin. Irrespective of what the punishment may be, even if it means giving my life, I'm prepared to give my life, but cleanse me from that sin. And this is the spirit of our mashayikh also, that a person must cleanse himself, save himself, and be wary from every disaster, but especially from the disaster of sin, from musibat and masiyat. We fear more from musibat, more than masiyat, but masiyat is the cause of musibat. Zahar al-fasadu bima fil barri wal bahr bima kasabat aydin nas. It is the sins that make the reason of the musibat and calamity coming to a person. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَيُمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever calamity befalls you, it is because of the earning of your hands. So this is the thing that has become so common. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us in our homes, in our businesses, in our areas that we frequent, where our children, wives, etc. go. Sin has become so rife that we don't even regard it as sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. This is more serious when a person doesn't regard a sin, the disobedience of Allah. So there is time that we turn to the ulama-i kiram, the mashayikh that are here, and the literature that is present here to identify what is wrong and what is the disobedience of Allah, and then to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the sahabi to mention this three times, and thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him all the prerequisites are there. He's confessed to the sin, and together with that he has a remorseful heart. Together with that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conscientizes him of the vastness and unlimited forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter tells him that you should be more hopeful in the mercy of Allah than your own actions here. He's turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him thereafter, stand up, qad ghafara Allahu lak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you. So there are two or three prerequisites that we should Concentrate on one is to identify what is sin. Secondly, when we perpetrate the sin, Allah Pak save us, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to repent. And sky is the limit, and this is the reality. Rasulullah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one hadith Qudsi that, O son of Adam, Yabna Adam, innaka ma da'utani wa rajautani, ghafartu laka ala ma, whatever. Well, as long as you have hope, make dua to me, and as long as you have hope from me, ghafartu laka ala ma kana fik wa la ubali, then I have forgiven you, irrespective of what amount of sins you have. As long as you are making dua to me and you have hope in me, then wala ubali, then I do not care. I'm not concerned as to what amount of sins you carry out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, addressing me and you who are filled with faults, Yabna Adam, law balagat zunubuka anana sama, O son of insan, O son of Adam alayhi salam, if your sins fill up the sky, comes up to the clouds, and ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي, then you turn to me for forgiveness, then I will forgive you, and I am not concerned. And I am not concerned as to what amount of sins you carried out, and what is the magnitude of the sins, and what is the gravity of the sins, and how serious are those sins. Imagine the sins going up to the sky. Some commentation mentioned here that the sins are taken, they take a form, and they fill up this earth till they reach up to the skies and to the clouds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I forgive you. Yabna Adam, لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِخِرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَتَايَا ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي لَا أَتَيْتُكَ بِقِرَابِ الْأَرْضِ مَغْفِرَةً أو كما قال الله تعالى, O son of Adam, if you come here with the entire earth full of sin, with the entire earth full of sin, and you come to me and you meet me in such a state, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا, you don't ascribe any partners with me, then you will meet me also with the earth full of forgiveness. Can we imagine? There's no limit. Unlimited mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unlimited forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it is too late and we leave this dunya. And this one tear that comes out of the eyes is so powerful that it can extinguish the wildest fires of Jahannam, just as one tear that comes out. One riwayat is mentioned that one tear that comes out, there's the size of a fly. Wherever it goes, the fire of Jahannam will not reach there. That is why the mashayikh will take those tears and rub it over their faces. Some riwayats, if the tears fall down on the ground, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that you are not punished on the day of Jahannam. And some places mention, وَإِلَّمْ تَبْكَوْ فَتَبَاكَوْ, if you cannot cry, then make yourself like those people that are crying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that as well and regard you from those people that are remorseful and regretful for their sins. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all forms of sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to go into the court of Allah anywhere and everywhere, at all times and all places. There's no restrictions here as far as the amount of sins are concerned. There's no restriction as far as the place is concerned, as far as the time is concerned. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse us and make us remain free from sins and conscientize us about the serious effects of sins. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Thank you.